I'm glad you guys had fun on my behalf.
Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Brad and Body Podcast. It's grand final week, Body. We sat here last week. It was 1-0. We said they've got to go home and defend the island. We both sat here and said absolutely no doubt they are going to go 1-1. Yep. I don't think we sat here thinking we were going to have what we had in game three. Oh, my God. Two words for you, Jack McVay.
That is, I've been covering this league since before it began, like even in the initial meetings in 1978, right? I have never seen a greater shot than that because, I mean, we can talk about a lot of great shots that we've seen, like Robert Rose for Townsville Crocs hitting that winner over Sydney in the playoffs.
Yeah, I
mean, there's heaps of them. There's Torrey Craig, there's Leroy Loggins, there's heaps of, but this won a grand final. So when you add the degree of difficulty and the degree of importance and the degree of self-confidence he showed in the whole play, like the moment Milton Dawe got him the ball, he turned six dribbles, the last one's a crossover as he steps into his shot, his eyes hardly ever waver from the basket. He makes that shot. That is the greatest shot in NBL history.
Look, it was unbelievable. It's probably the greatest turnover as well, if you go through that way. But geez, they blew it. But let's go way back. All right, let's go. We're 1-0. We're going to Tasmania. Everyone was like, "Oh, this is this is going to be Tasmania's win." It was not easy. It was not easy. They were down 15 down in the third quarter, and they came back on the back of a 14-point quarter. They kept Melbourne to, which ended up being a 22-14 quarter. What a win by Tasmania.
Yeah, they did it at the defensive end. And as I was watching, I was really concerned because they were getting stop after stop, but they couldn't convert. And there was a period where the scores were stuck at 58-48. I mean, it had been 55-40 to Melbourne, and it looked like almost curtains. But at 58-48, Tassie was getting stops, and I'm sort of looking at it going, "You got to score, guys. You got to get a score." And they went, and then finally, I think it was Jack McVay actually that broke it with a three, and then away they went. Back they came, and once they got the momentum, you know that crowd's roaring. You could feel that now it was Melbourne that was under the pump. Tassie had suddenly swung the momentum, turned it around. You say 14 points they held Melbourne to in the last quarter because their defense was great, but they held them to 19 in the third. So that's a 33-point second half.
Yeah.
That's 66 points if you go
on the back of a 44 first half. It's a good point you make. Look, you know, we sat here last week and you mentioned about Perth and the WNBL not learning from their experiences a few years ago. And you look at a Tasmania, this could be 3-0 right now and we're done. Yeah, right? Let's be honest, right? It could have very easily been. And with the fact of what they did down in the island and then they've come, you know, back to Melbourne and did what they had to do. I was very privileged to be in that West Sydney versus Sydney Kings 5-game series, which was just such an emotional roller coaster. Yep. It's hard for me to say, is this the best series you've seen so far? I mean, I know we're only three. Is this because there was Melbourne Adelaide a few years ago that went to five?
Yeah.
I've seen 3-game series with Perth and, you know, and Melbourne Tigers. Like, I don't know. It's probably a bit biased because we're in it right now, but man, this is great.
It is. That was a great game of basketball, game three. But I would be loath at this stage to sort of say where this ranks in terms of series until it's over. When it's over, like, I mean, if it's over in four games, well, then it can't be as good as the one that went five, you know. And if it goes to five, so I would prefer to sort of pull back on that. But I do think I want to pick you up on something because the two of us have made the same mistake as every other pundit outside of Tasmania or any or so-called expert, whatever, in that we don't tend to think that Tasmania can get it done. In the back of our minds, there's this sort of doubt that, yeah, they've done really well. Haven't they done great? But now they're playing Melbourne United. They lost the first one by 20 or whatever it was. They can't get up and do it. You know, that's our frame of mind. And then I think last week you referenced the fact that Sydney sort of swept them. They made the grand final in their first year of existence and Sydney swept them. But
Injuries.
As I reminded you, they did have injuries then, and Dejan Vasiljevic hit a massive shot in game two that clinched it. You know, so there was a disadvantage there. Whereas here, you've watched them do a great job to come back and beat Perth, and now they're playing. And I think we underrate them. Jack Riewoldt, I don't know if you know who that is, being
in an NRL state. Okay, yeah, right. So he Richmond picked them in four. Player.
That's right. And he did that after they lost the first game. Yeah. Jack Riewoldt came out and said, Jack Jumpers will win this in four. And he looks like he's going to be right, and we look like we're going to be stupid, which is, you know, an amazing thing, because we have that little bit of insecure, we feel a bit insecure about them, that we don't think that they're the real deal. Well, Buster, like brother, they're the real deal.
It's the like little brother. Expect them. Yeah, no, look, it's a good point. I do want to give a little bit of shout out to Jordan Crawford, because the pressure on that guy would have been immense. He came out, I think it was at 13 in the first quarter. He had 13 for the game, I know that. But he came out, he
set a tone.
I thought he was good yesterday. We're recording this on a Monday for people. I thought he was good yesterday, especially when Milton Doyle went down with that fourth foul. I shouldn't say went down, when he got his fourth foul. Yeah. And we'll come back to those dumb fouls. But I thought that he stepped up, and he had some big buckets as well. But
He did.
Look, Jack McVay hit two threes on Friday night in that game. That's all he hit. They felt like he had six threes. They were such big threes at crucial times. He's just been another level. I mean, it's unbelievable to watch this guy who was fighting for minutes in Adelaide.
Yeah, and yet I think Luke Travers, over the course, has done a pretty good job on him. You know, Travers had four blocks in that game, and I reckon one of those we know was on Crawford late in the game, but the other three were all on Jack McVay. And that's got to mess with your head when you know this other guy's as athletic as I am, and if I don't get this right, he's going to send it into the stands. So he's also got that to deal with, and yet he's still managing to find ways to be fantastic, because he was that. Look, that shot, I just can't get past that. We jumped out of our lounge chairs.
Oh, mate, I was screaming. I was absolutely screaming. And I'll tell you, as a sideline commentator that I've been before, to be in John Casey's shoes would have been gold. And I was there for a grand final series when Melbourne beat Adelaide, and I got to do a few interviews, and I loved it. John Casey was amazing with that interview. He wouldn't let him go, which was good. He asked him just enough questions, because that would have just been real easy, because Jack was in fuego world, mate.
He was pumped. He was babbling. He was like, emotional.
Just one more, baby. Just one more. But John was like, okay, you got him. You're up. Yeah. And then you could see Jack sort of come back in within himself and go, oh, yeah, then we'll do some shit talk and I'll come down. You know, like it was such an emotional series so far, and that you're like, every time you see Scott Roth, it looks like he wants to cry because he's so proud of what he's doing.
Of his boys.
It's going to be hard to beat them there on Thursday night, man.
Can I just say, while you're mentioning John Casey, I thought John Casey's performance in that game three, every time they went to him or anything he had to say, was brilliant. I mean, we tend to forget how good John Casey is. And with all due respect to Joel Pederson, I think he should be still your main man, because what he brings and the experience he brings, exactly how he handled that interview, when you know that Jack's just sort of all over the place because he's just done the most amazing thing in the history of a league.
I got to call with Jack Hevron a lot this year, and I love him. I'm going to be completely honest. He's fantastic. I think the NBL's in a very difficult situation because they're both so bloody good. Do you know what I mean? And what I think's great, though, is they've still got in there. John is outstanding. You know, you can see him behind the bench. Everything is just so calm. You know, there's an injury. This is what's going on. He's fantastic. So
anyway. He pulls out good historical relevant facts
he's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. I don't know where he gets it on. Melbourne United, Shaley was great Friday night.
He's been all the way through.
He's their Larry Senstock medalist if they're to get to this, but I don't know if that will happen.
Yeah. Can I say, that's why I think Jordan Crawford has been struggling for court time. Not because of his offense. Really not. He can't guard Shai Ili. Shai just gets past him. Shai gets to the hoop a lot on Jordan. I mean, Jordan.
So that's why you think they're playing Sean McDonald a lot?
Yes.
I like Sean McDonald. I thought there was times yesterday that he pushed it a little bit, but that's fine. Like, I mean, you know, now we can't just class him as this, you know, DP bench player coming off. He's, you know, best six man in the league. Or most improved, and you know, he's doing a great job. I think one of the things I have noticed, certainly on Friday night, is they did a great job on Ian Clark. Now, he had some good looks and missed, but if Ian Clark's knocking down those shots like we saw in game one, they don't win that. Oh, sorry, that it's so much easier for them to win, and that would make Tasmania struggle. But I'll tell you what, give them credit, up 15, they go on the road. Do you think, and I wanted to ask you this, if you lose game two the way Melbourne lost, or if you win game two the way Tasmania lost, who do you feel going into a Sunday game in Melbourne is better positioned?
Well, you see, I feel Tasmania they're better positioned. They're better positioned because of what we just discussed a few minutes ago. Nobody expects it of them. Yeah, you see, Melbourne United has been by far, across the regular season, not even close, the best team, best team. But it's not determined by the regular season. That just puts you in a great position for the major round. And now they're under the pump, and I don't think they look terribly happy as a group. I think Joe Lualua-Chua has looked disengaged a couple of times.
Wow.
You know, and also I think Matthew Dellavedova, hats off to his effort, his energy, all that, but I think he thinks he's the man, and he does a lot of stuff that really is not helpful to their team, including telling Ian Clark to buzz off for that last inbounds pass where Ian Clark was going to take that and pass that in. Dele tells him to get lost. I'll do it because he's the man. And then he tries to pass it to Chris Goulding, who's being double teamed on the sideline. How smart is that? And it goes out of court. Doyle saves it. We know the rest. You know, so I think I'm not sure that team is as cohesive at this moment.
I agree with you. They don't look as happy. JLA, 8 points. He only took three shots and made all of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, and Huck Porty, 16 points. But, 16 minutes, 6 points. What I found was amazing is, and you know me, I love the duel with the coaches. I always talk about that and the duel. Yeah. And what it was that Scott Roth made the first move, right? And he was like, right, I'm putting Majokdeng in. And then Melbourne United thought, well, we're going to stay big. So they went with Hot Party or JLA or whatever. Yep. JLA couldn't guard him, right? He just walked by him. And not only did Majokdeng was great, he played 16 minutes. I think he played the whole last quarter, if not 90%.
Yes, he did. No, he played the whole last quarter.
But he had 15 points in the fourth. Now, let's set this up. This kid's hardly played this year, right, with injuries, with what's gone on. You look at Magne, you know, Fabian's been playing well. They've got Lee. Of course, Lee went down injured with the knee and that didn't look good. But for him to come on and do that in a fourth period of game three, that could be career-changing,
He has changed under Scott Roth. He was a good player under Joey Wright. He was a good player under Adam Ford. He's a potential great player. Like his decision making is so much better. There was a time where if he got the ball outside the 3-point line, it was just going to go up. That's what was going to happen. Mm. Whereas now, had that drive, he went straight past the two and straight down that two-handed dunk. I mean, that wouldn't have occurred to him. I don't reckon that would have occurred to him 5 years ago. So where he's come under Scott Roth, and I give Scott a lot of credit because he was the one that went to small ball. He was the one that thought, okay, Marcus Lee's done for the day. We were struggling a little bit. I'm going to go small ball. Let's try this. And he forced Dean Vickerman to have to go to small ball. He had to take his bigs out.
Kyle Bowen. Kyle does a good job, mate. He had six points, three or four from the field. It changes the dynamics. And I'll tell you, this is where I just think about the Tasmania trainings. And if Deng goes to lay that up, if he drives by someone, you've got Magne and Lee coming across going, that ain't going up. Where you can just imagine Scott Roth, you can't lay that up. That's got to be thrown down, mate. And you could just see a year of training and a year of everything. You listen to, you know, all these players and it's like, well, I've done the work. That's what they keep saying. I've done the work. This is not a surprise to us. This is what we do all day, every day.
It's a surprise to us, Brad. It's a surprise to us.
It's not a surprise to them all the time. Look, Jack McVeigh, great, 18 points. Sean McDonald, another good 13. Like I said, Jordan Crawford, 14. I thought there was some good shot. Mind you, 6 of 15 from the field, but a couple he hit there were really good. And I've got to give I don't think I've seen Anthony Drimmick play as well as I've seen him play this series. He's in. He's not letting Golding get anything. He's physical. He's being annoying. That's cool. Yeah, that's he's doing. Do. He's fan. I really rate him this series.
Me too. This is the most focused I've seen him. I don't think they used him well in Brisbane. I think they wasted him in Brisbane. Then when he came back to Adelaide, I don't think they used him well either. They let him go. You get the right coach. And, you know, we've had him on the program, Brad. He's a friend of the show, and he was talking about accountability. And he's been made accountable, and so he doesn't have those crazy moments anymore. You know, if there's something going on, he's probably involved, but he's focused. And that's I like that. But, you know, even with all this, everything we're saying about Tassie, Melbourne had that game one.
Yep, and game two
Melbourne
as well.
Totally blew it.
Yeah, totally and game two as well. All right, so let's move now. We're on Thursday night. We're heading to Tasmania again, game four. You win, you raise the flag for the first time in Tasmania. And
second time, 1981, Launceston Casino City, mate.
Sorry, I meant for the Jack Jumpers. Sorry, you're right. Because I know it was the Launceston. You know why? Because my favourite coach ever in Cliff Martin played for Launceston there.
Yes,
so he used to tell me every training. He used to tell me, I knew Launceston won every week, mate, I promise. okay. What's happening? What do you think's happening?
I expect it to be another brutal game, but I think, now we've got to be able to say, yes, Tasmania is going to wrap this up. Jack Riewoldt, football man, knows more than all us basketball people. I reckon he got it right. That's what I'm expecting.
Can I just say as well, I can't like the Tasmania Devils for the AFL. That just doesn't, I don't know, because it's the Devils was the NBL.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Look, the thing, though, I'm interested in is whether Marcus Lee plays. Two things I want to say is, one, Dean Vickerman's press conference after the game, again, he showed what a classy individual he is, because before he even said anything, he said, I hope Marcus Lee is all right. And he was the first person out on the floor.
I saw that. Don't forget he played for him last year. That. I'm sure they have a great relationship.
And I totally respect that. Now, I'm sorry for the American people that are listening to this, but Americans have a tendency to overact.
What?
Okay? I've been shot. Someone from the stands has shot me. You know, Jesse Wagstaff, I sometimes wonder whether he was born in the US. But anyway, what I'm saying here is that a lot of times players just walk past their American when they're rolling around on the floor because they go, he'll be right in a second. She'll be right in a second. And so, like, we saw it with Christian Doolittle at Perth. You know, he injured his shoulder and he comes out with his arm in a sling, and 2 days later he plays.
I reported it and said he could be out for 6 weeks. He played 4 days later.
Right. So, I mean, you know, I would not – what I'm saying is I would not be surprised if Marcus Lee does suit up on Thursday. But also, he might be genuinely out for a period, but they showed against Perth in game two that they can win without him. So,
sometimes that can be a positive too, because now Magne goes up, more minutes for Deng, all of that type of Fabian.
I
love him. He came on, hit five crucial points. I'm big fan.
Yeah, Milton Doyle. Really, like he drove down. I was on the baseline. He drew a double team, gave Fabian enough time to sort of set at the 3-point line, hesitated a bit, just long enough, gave him the ball. Beautiful three. Next play, gives it to him, got rolling to the basket.
Well, let me quickly pick up, because we haven't spoken enough about him. How good is bloody Milton Doyle?
Yeah.
That guy is just a flat out baller. Had 14 points, four threes, hits big daggers. The calmness of that guy. Silly fouls. That was a silly third and fourth. The fourth one was ridiculous. You can't get your arm in there. But,
do you think he's got bad habits?
Well, I'm off the rails. My resistance fails. My temptation's got a hold on me. And I can't refuse, because I always do. I can't help myself.
Yeah, just let me get there, and I love it. But it's just, that's just, anyway, now I'm going to come to you first, but we are going to do this, because I want to talk to you about the Boomels and the Opas draw before we end, all right? So we're going to talk about that with the draw, but let's go on, give me a nod's nasty.
Okay.
Give me a nod's nasty.
My nod's nasty is players, particularly United players, who seem to be more entitled, every time the whistle goes and they think it's contentious, the twirling of the finger at the coach, yeah. we need a review. Like Matthew Dellavedova, the first 30 seconds of the game, he's asking for a review from Denver. Oh, get over yourselves, will you? You know, you foul, you travel, you do stupid things, you're basketball players. You're not right every time. And every, you know, the amount of times the United players do that compared to anybody else, It's just annoying. Just get over yourselves. Try and win a ball game instead of, you know, thinking you can outsmart referees.
I'm going to move on to my Rosen Rattler, which is sort of that but diverted. There's so much talk about the hate for the referees at the moment. Like, this is a bad call. This is a bad call. That's crap. This is bad. And there has been some damn doozies, right? There has been some damn doozies, no question. But we've got to get off it. Like, this is just becoming a joke now, because it's all – this is – don't be talking. Talk about the players. The players are playing the best game of basketball I've seen in years. Well, I shouldn't say in years. It's been great forever. But what I'm saying is we're so worried about that call was contentious and this call. Every turnover's contentious. Everything's a worry. The refs will make bad calls. They will make them, right? Players make bad plays. The team that gets stopped – thinking about the damn referees, which goes on to this finger twirling and everything.
Yeah.
If you stop trying to play for fouls, if you stop trying to dive, if you stop trying to play, as a ref, I'm watching those games and I'm thinking, how the hell do you ref that? You have no idea if a player's actually fouled anymore or not, because you've got a split second. And if a head goes back, if you don't call it, you're wrong. If you do call it, you're wrong. And I don't want to say I stick up for referees because I think sometimes some referees probably think they're bigger than the game.
One in the series,
And other times I feel they've made terrible calls, but I also say you can't, it's a 40-minute game. Stop worrying about it. Just play. Because you know what? No one's going to remember number two in 15 years' time. You don't want to sit back and go, oh, we shouldn't have probably bitched on the ref as much as we could. We might have won the game, because you'll miss out on your ring.
Well, I'm not a Melbourne hater. I love the way they play basketball this season, but they do that a lot more than I don't see that from Tasmania a lot. There's once or twice that they'll sort of, someone will think they're hard done by and they'll turn to Scott Roth and wave the finger, and more often than not he doesn't.
Did you see yesterday there was a call on Ian Clark and he looked like he was going to throw the ball at the ref.
Delhi came over and stopped it.
You know, it's like I get the frustration, but mate, you know, like you saw what happened with Magne in game two, goes over and yells at the bloke for flopping. Well, now he's sitting on the bench. Yeah. You know, like moving on. Give me your
nasty moment of the game. Moment of the game. Look, everybody knows what that is. Moment of the two games was Jack McVay's shot. No question. Correct. It'll be yours too, surely.
Well, hang on. No, I'm going to go something different, because I knew you were going to go for that. My moment of the game is after he hit the shot. I slowed it down and I watched good mate of ours, good mate of the show, Jared Weeks, and I watched Magne, their faces running towards McVay at the end of the game. I'm telling you, I sent it to Jared and his wife, Mick, and I sent this and went gold, and it was slow motion of Weeksy, and all I got back was, forgot I was an assistant coach there for a little while. It was just awesome. And they were literally screaming at McVay, and it was amazing. So for me, that's the moments that you dream of in sport. That's what
absolutely.
I loved.
And you know, we were talking the other day about how much you enjoy grand finals because of these moments at the end. It was beautiful.
That's it.
Yeah, it was beautiful in game one when Melbourne won. The way they responded was great. Game two, game three for Tasmania was great as well.
Do you think Melbourne, you're saying Tassie in four?
I'm jumping on a Jack Riewoldt bandwagon.
Sitting on the fence. Look, I said all year, Melbourne don't lose two games in a row. They just did. Yeah. Right, so it's Jackies are playing some fantastic basketball. I'm not even going to ask you the player of the round, Jack McVay, of course, right? Yeah. So
do have another moment. This is for the benefit of Simon Mitchell, who's a friend of the show and has been on the show.
Yes, I see his tweets and love him.
Yes, in game two, that drive by Sean McDonald when he went to the basket and he did his little flying frap doodle. That's what we're calling that, the flying frap doodle in memory for Simon Mitchell and in memory of Bill Palmer back in the early days of NBA games on Channel 7.
Did you see Bruce Palmer on the coverage the other day? Was it he was just sitting in the crowd? You remember the old, the commentator?
Yeah, I didn't see that.
You didn't see it anyway.
What I do is I let the game run for 10 minutes and then I record it, and then I don't have to. I can just, you know, speed through the NBL app nonsense, speed through the Globetrotters.
The reason
nonsense.
I picked that up, I'm sure it was him, and the reason I picked that up, I remember in 1992 I'm playing in the CBA National Finals, and it was the first time the CBA was on live TV. It was Channel 10. And he said, and he called me, Brad Rosen, he wouldn't weigh 40 kilos wringing wet in a raincoat, and I loved it, mate. It was fantastic. Boddy, very quickly before we get out here, I just want to talk to you about the Opals and the Boomers Olympic draw. Look, tell us what your thoughts are. Look, not a fantastic draw, but every group you would be in wouldn't be fantastic. There's too many damn good teams. What do you think?
I'm so sick of these pathetic journalists calling everything the group of death. Have a look at some of the other groups. They're bloody hard. It's an Olympics. You've only got 12 teams, so you're thinking they're going to be pretty good.
So what we've got is we know that we're going to face – well, talk to us, because we know Canada are already in, and then we assume Spain and Slovenia because they've got a playoff, Spain, right?
That's right. They're the two most likely. So that's a really,
that's a tough
really
draw.
Yeah, but that's then just look at some of the other groups, Brad. They're just as tough.
Top two come through, correct?
Top two – there's three groups of four. The top two come through. That's six teams, but they go to eight. It's the best third-place finisher. So there's two
let's
more
just talk
come
about
through.
That. Canada obviously beat us at the Worlds. Spain, we know enough about them, and Slovenia. Yeah. Well, that was Luka. Did Canada beat us at the Worlds? No, that was the women. Sorry, when did we haven't played?
Canada will be good. That Canada will be good.
We didn't play
them. They beat
them,
the US. Remember, they came through a different way, but they got to They won the
bronze medal. Opals. We beat them and for the Opals. But anyway, that is a really tough draw. The Opals, what do you think about them? Australia, Canada, France and Nigeria. What's your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think they get through. I think they'll get through, but it will not be easy. The game against Nigeria is, of course, the Liz Cambage testimonial match. That should be really good. The other two games will be extremely difficult. Got to say, Sarah Blitzarves won't be there. She had back surgery this very day. Wishing you all the best. If you're
listening, Sarah, we love you.
Wishing you all the best.
We love you lots. I know a big friend and the family of our show, so lots of love, Sarah. Hope you get well soon.
I think we get through to the next stage a lot. I think we get through to the next stage easier or with less difficulty than the men will. The men, that's tough.
I agree. And a shout out to Penny Taylor, who was there for the draw, if you would we call it. Is that the best? Yeah. So
yes,
exactly. So it's fantastic. Body, that's us.
That's it. We're done.
So there should we know this time.
Are you going for? You going for game four, Tassie or Melbourne, and it goes back for? Because I don't care if it goes back to a game five. I'd love to see the series go five. But I'd also like to see Tassie win.
Body, I am so on the fence. I just feel Melbourne win this one. Because they're just teams with their back to the wall. I just think I'm praying for them to win because I want it to go for game five, but I'll be so happy for Tasmania to win. Like happy for them and the island and or as we like to say, the little island, as some people are calling it. So look, fantastic. This time next week we will have a winner. We will have our NBL champion and what a season it's been. But anyway, Boddy, thank you, my man.
It's been a pleasure, as always.
Last words.
Last words is have a happy Easter, everybody, and don't eat too much chocolate. And don't give any to your dogs. Brad, game four coming up. Are we going to do another show afterwards, a post show?
One more, baby. We got this. Just one more.
What were you thinking when I asked that question?
Just shoot it. One more, baby. We got this, baby.